Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Very ironic, isn't it? You know, so just an amazing sort of few verses there. And there is so much in this reading that you could really look at. And there are many bits, if I'm honest, that I don't understand at all. And so I'm going to miss them bits out. Is that all right? You know, so, and I'll ask somebody else to look at that because I don't understand such things. But the bits I do understand, I'm going to focus on. And I'm going to attempt to go back to my old roots, and I was never very good at it then, so heaven help us now. I'm going to attempt to do a Methodist three-point sermon. So, okay, so here we go. Number one is about bad attitudes. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. You can't go anywhere until you change it. It's pretty right, isn't it, really? Who's ever had a bad attitude, eh? Yep, all the time, really. I came back from a meeting on Tuesday, and I was really struggling to write this report for... we got a visit on Wednesday, just coming up, or just gone, and I was trying to write the report. Now, my brain doesn't work in an analytical way, so it struggles to write down details and put it... And I've got to make it really clear for these visitors. And so I went to this meeting. I hadn't got time to go to the meeting. It's a waste of time, and I just felt... And I really had a bad attitude. So then you got emails coming through, and you look at the emails, and you think, well, why are they so... And it just starts to hinder, doesn't it? It starts to get inside, gets under the skin, really. I hate a bad attitude, and I hate it in others, and I hate it in myself. And I have them, and I do have them, because I'm now over 50, and of course it's allowed, really, now that I'm over 50. But have you ever thought, I don't know if you do, because so I'm not analytical, but obviously maybe there's a slight bit in me, because I sometimes think, now where did that start? How did that start? Why am I like this? And so try to identify where it started from so I don't have to go there again, because I'm not very bright, really. But anyway, if I try and remember where, you know, so I don't go there. I had not a new quote. They took £208. Green Flag took £208 out of our account for the year, for going forward. And I thought to myself, so I opened that, and I thought, why have they taken 200? I thought, how much was it last year? £170. That's about 20, 21, 22% increase. Right, okay, right, I'm going to ring them up. And I knew if I go at that, like sometimes I can do, I'm going to have a bad attitude all day. And then I'll tell you who the only person that's going to get really affected by it is me. I mean, the person on the other end of the line, she was called Nicola, and I thought, oh dear, right, okay, so calm down, Henry, calm down. She's called Nicola, got a daughter and a daughter-in-law called Nicola. That'd be a reminder, don't upset them. Right, okay, so, and I know what their name means, people's ruler. So anyway, so it's, so just take it steady. Anyway, just, so that's how I sometimes think, how did they start? Well, what struck me with this verse was, that the Pharisees were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So basically, I'm really focusing on the 1-6. You know, the bit about the bread, no, just save that for Paul for another day. But 1-6, they're starting from a negative perspective. If you notice that, they're just looking. They weren't really interested in the good things. So they hadn't really come to be blessed. They hadn't really come to contribute. They'd actually come to find a reason to criticize, a reason to make a fuss, a reason to, you know, just sort of like say, this isn't going well. And instead, and they're going to find it. To be honest, you're going to find it. If you're looking for some negative stuff in your work, in your relationships, I can guarantee it, you're going to find it. It's going to be there. So when you go looking for the bad, you're going to find it. And it's what you do with it. And the other thing for me is, you know, I found that once I get there, once there's a tipping point. I know when there's a point in it when I can choose to have a bad attitude or I can choose to have a good attitude. So this morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning, now about 6 o'clock in this morning, someone laying next to me, I'll mention no names, was snoring. Okay. And I didn't want to wake them up because I couldn't quite hear what Emma was doing. Now, was she awake? Or was she moving around? Was she speaking? And so I thought, I never mind anybody snoring next to me. I find it quite amusing, actually. I'll draw it quite, doesn't bother me in the slightest. So anyway, I thought, I'm going to have to do something about this on this occasion. So I did prod or did say something about that. I said, because I can't hear Emma. And I got back a little bit of a sort of like, well, I should have woken you in the night when I couldn't hear Emma because you were snoring. And I just thought, oh, well, I was only trying to say, and I thought, it's at that moment, do I have a bad attitude or do I choose to move on? I haven't moved on yet, by the way, so just so you know, still the rest of the day. But you know what I mean? You know, you could, but there's a moment where you choose to forgive. You choose to let go. I would say I am a glass half full, if that's the positive one. I can generally find a positive in most things. And, you know, as a, certainly, I've not always been that way. I was often quite a worrier, quite a negative person, but it's something that I've practiced. I mean, one of the things that you had to do, because I know, I mean, take Saturday mornings, for instance, as a photographer, wedding photographer, Saturday, it's hammering down with rain, it's pouring with rain. And do you know what? What you'd really, really want, you'd want a nice, personally, for me, it's a nice sunny day, not too breezy, nice bit of strong sunshine, a bit of warmth, because you get light coming through the trees. I can see them up there. You can see the light, the way it hits, the colours, just bring it out, bring it to life, and things like that. And then you get up and it's raining. Now, sometimes I can really, you know, when I remember just stomping around, just something. But in the end, what you have to do is, because it does thwart creativity, okay, it stops you from being creative. So in other words, I begin to pray, God, that you will give me a creative edge in this area so that I can still produce something really good. One of the best photographs that I took was a couple stood in the rain holding an umbrella up outside Keddington Church. It was brilliant. It was an excellent photograph. And another photograph I took in the snow where people really struggled to get there was a bride stood there in wellies, you know, it's about using creativity, isn't it, to make the most of the opportunity. But if you have a bad attitude, forget it. You know, it's just, you really can't go anywhere until you change your attitude. You know, you could actually have, and, you know, it could actually be quite a real thing, a gripe against, I don't know, your boss, leadership in church, feel aggrieved. And as I said, there's a point you choose which way you go, you hold a grudge or forgive. But once we hold a grudge, we condition our minds towards that it's not right. And so we look for the negative to justify your thinking and sadly start closing our minds towards anything good coming. And the net effect, we stop adding our own God-given flavor and the mission starts to slow down. So when we have a bad attitude, let's say, for instance, in church, we have a bad attitude. The mission, we're not actually fulfilling our part because we've got the bad attitude and we ain't going anywhere. And the net effect is we're the ones who suffer. And I actually think that a bad attitude is contagious. So when I come back into the office on Tuesday and I said, I'm just telling you, I seem to have a bad attitude. I think I'm going to go and sit somewhere quietly because I've got a bad attitude. And I know because I don't want to affect anybody else because it is contagious. So the net effect, we stop, as I said, stop adding our own God-given flavor and the mission slows down. We find ourselves damaged by the process, and ultimately, we saw that in there. I mean, the Pharisees, they went to that extreme that they were looking for a way to kill Jesus. They were going to kill him. I mean, hang on a minute, which is the bit, you know, which is lawful? Horrendous. Number two. I saw on my notes, I've got to be done by 5:30, so I've got to get on with this, you know. Did I say deal with the bad attitude before it consumes you? If I didn't, that's what I meant to say at the end of that point. Number two, can you think of a time where you've completely missed the point, where someone actually asks you to do something and you completely miss the point? Yep, indeed. I've got a little video I just want to show you here, really. I really love these little bits at the end of a program that you're probably familiar with. We'll just turn the volume up, I think, more than anything.
Here's a good one. Okay, great. Inflatable boy goes into inflatable school with inflatable headmaster.
I was lucky you got in. Feel very isolated in a normal school. Go on.
Okay, and one day he absolutely runs amok with a drawing pin, going pss, 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 pss. And the headmaster calls him into the study and he says, I'm very disappointed in you. You've let me down, you've let yourself down.
That is funny at all. The boy is dangerous and antisocial. You are condoning his behaviour.
Yeah, but it's an inflatable school.
Exactly. What is the worst thing you can do in an inflatable school? Oh, the drawing pin. I bet there aren't many inflatable schools around. The only one for all the inflatable children in the country. Destroy it. That boy needs psychiatric help. You know, sometimes I really do wonder why you're a vicar.
Good example of missing the point, eh? Just a little aside, really, but when we were kids, me and Mark Bunford, it's always him, so I was just with him at the time, but we used to do lots of roller skating and things like that. But anyway, there was a new Chinese person that took over the chip shop up the road on Parkway Estate. And so Mark thought it was a really good idea that we go in and order skate and chips size 10. Because that's the sort of skate size that you might ask for. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember getting chucked out? Yes. Basically, the chap says, pardon? And then he goes, skate and chips, size 10. And of course, he sort of, and I'm starting to laugh by then. And of course, out. He just didn't get it. He didn't understand it. No wonder. He missed the point. Now, I'm not very good at instructions. And where are we up to? Oh, yeah, missing the point. Sometimes we just miss the point. Indeed, I saw that one as well. I'm not very good at instructions. Have you ever stopped and asked somebody directions? You know, and I can remember sometimes, you know, you wind down the window. Thankfully, we've got phones now, haven't we? Thankfully. You know, ask somebody, and they'd say to you, yeah, you go down here, hang a left, whatever hang a means. But anyway, you know, whatever that means. And then you do a right, and then you go along 300 yards left, and then right, and then turn right. And then it's just on the left. It's just, and I think, by then I've switched off. I mean, I have lost it. You know, no chance of actually even beginning to listen to what he said. I just think, oh, well, I'll just keep going and pray. But it can be like that. And looking after a baby, you call this to come. You call this to come. It's just, you know, I picked up Tom and I take him to work on a Wednesday morning, pick up Emma, take her back. And we're driving along and Tom says, he brought out this great big bag full of stuff, you know, a great big bag. And he says, there's a blanket there. You'll need a blanket now, and because you can't put Emma in, she can't wear a coat in the car, in the car seat, or in the car, you know, which you've got to wear in the car seat. I says, oh, well, I suppose it might get a bit too warm. She says, oh, no, in case the regulations now state that the seatbelt's got to be tight enough that she can't wear a coat. And I thought, blimey, whatever happened to the days when I used to get picked up from the old football? We had about 7 in the back of the car, chucked in the back of the car. Old Johnny Mears used to take everybody home, you know, and that sort of thing. You know, it's just amazing, isn't it, really? And as for the car seat, I mean, Tom, I took him to Northern Ireland back in the summer, and I'd just taken him along there. And so picked him up at home, it's hot, and he's putting a new car seat in, he's got me. And he's sweating away there, you know, just trying to put it in. And I said, that ain't coming out. They're so complex. Oh, and just as he's going along as well, talking about instructions, wasn't I? And then he says, oh, because Emma's got a bit of a temperature, or did have a bit of temperature, I don't know. I felt her, she's all right, but because that's my way of doing it. Anyway, cut to the chase. You know, so he says, inside of her little bag, it's in the bottom of the bag, he'd already tried to explain to him about all the food that's come there. Well, some of it's got to be frozen, some of it's got to be for lunch. And I'm thinking, I can't cope with all the instructions. And then he says, if you can just, there's a thermometer in there, you've got to take it on, turn it on. Have you turned on new devices these days? You either have to press it and hold it down or not. So which one is it? Is it a press down and hold, or is it just a press? You know, and so you've got this device. And then he's saying to me, he says, then you've got to put it in her ear, and you can't just put it in her ear, you've got to pull her ear to the left or put it up a bit, and then press the button on the top and then read it. I says, all right, then. I remember when they were little children, we used to put the head, oh yeah, it's hot, let's give them some cow pole. And that was it. You know, mind you, I did have a go in the end, but it wasn't as bad. But it just seemed like all these instructions, you know, just so complex. Anyway, there is a reason for me saying this, because apparently there are 613 Old Testament rules and regulations that someone had to remember. If that was me, forget it. I can remember the two. Can remember what the two is? Love God with all your heart and all your soul, all your strength, all your might. Worship him. And love others as yourself. Simple. And that's it. The whole law is summed up in those two commandments. So I'm a little bit sympathetic with the Jews having to remember all of those. I say just a bit sympathetic, because some of the things they didn't weren't too good. And I'm not saying this is a correct interpretation, because in many respects, I think, you know, they'd got it wrong once before. And maybe they were so scared of getting it wrong again. You know, they'd lost the land, and maybe they're just a little bit cautious. We don't want to lose the land again. I mean, I suppose that all falls down, really, when you think Roman overlords who were looking after the country. But anyway, they might have been thinking that. And this is something really important that we all struggle with here as human beings. They've always done it that way. So you just didn't do that kind of thing on a Sabbath. So in other words, you don't do it. When I first become a Christian, cutting the grass on a Sunday, forget it, you're not allowed to do that. Going shopping, I remember the first time I went, you know, plucked up courage one time, and really, I went down to Aldi's, and I was really worried about going, who might see me, and I went into Aldi's, and there was Victor from the church, and I thought, oh, it's all right then, isn't it, you know, I'm free, I'm released, you know, but how was it, you know, you just sort of think, it was just that sense of, because you've always done it that way, and breaking free of those sort of traditions. And then there's this new rabbi on the block upsetting the status quo. And he's saying things like, all these 613 laws, you know, they're not gone, but they can be summed up in two words, two. And so some people are thinking, he's the best thing since sliced bread. And other people are thinking, nope, he's a heretic, he's a lunatic. And so there's that real kind of division. And so some people are really sort of kind of, which way do they go? And if you think about it, you imagine the rabbis look after the church. They're the control in the church. And so which way do you go? Do you go with the rabbis? Because, you know, the church leaders, I mean, you've only got to think about, you know, a really divisive issue today. Let's take homosexuality. Let's say, for instance, that somebody here's thinking, well, I'm not so sure the church has got it right. Now, which way do you go? If you go that way, you're going against the flow of the tide. And if you go that way, you feel better, but it's just all going on in your mind. It's just incredible stuff. And so this is kind of things that they're going on. We've had this for years, 613, and now you're saying in two. And so there's a little bit of me that feels a little bit crumbs. This is not easy. Some might remember there was this thing called the Toronto Blessing a number of years ago. Some people said it was from the enemy, and some people said it was from God, and some people got really blessed by it, and some people chose to ignore it. Now, did they miss out? But anyway, it doesn't matter really, but you can see the tensions that there are with it. And for me, it really is love God, love others. The whole point of all of this, it's not about a set of rules or religion. It's about a relationship with God our Father and knowing him personally. And Jesus summed it up, as I say, in two laws: love God, love others. He even used this phrase, didn't he, in somewhere in John. I'm paraphrasing, of course. They will know we are Christians by our love. The love we show for one another will be, you know, a way in which they know we're Christians. I mean, have you ever met somebody and you think, oh, you're a Christian, because I know, because you've got a nice attitude and that sort of thing. I thought you might be a Christian and that sort of thing. Not because you're wearing a badge, but because you've got a lovely heart and everything. But you know, that should be the way in which it is. There's a demonstration, a clear demonstration of the way in which we love. You know, and I love this phrase, and I've said it and I'll say it forever. If it doesn't look like Jesus, it's probably not God. You know, as we look at, you know, the things that go on, if it doesn't look like Jesus, is he really God? If that's not the way Jesus would have reacted to something. You know, throughout the ages, we've done some pretty ghastly things in the name of religion and somehow justified it by scripture. I could give you lots of examples. One of the ones that I'm looking at the moment is I'm looking at apartheid, you know, which is not that long ago. So I'm reading three case studies, if you like. Nelson Mandela, he was a bit of a terrorist, apparently. And now he's a hero. Now he's a saint. But if you were living in the day, in the 1970s, 80s, Nelson Mandela, terrorist. You know, so interesting, isn't it? Interesting thought. Secondly, we've got F.W. de Klerk, who was the one who was up for reforms. And then you've got Desmond Tutu. I'm only on F.W. de Klerk at the moment. But interesting. I read a little piece in F.W. de Klerk, and that, apartheid, and I stand to be corrected on here, it appears that it's a justification on Scripture. And this is the bit, that's why I'm reading it, because I find it shocking that anything like that could possibly be justified on Scripture. But he says, F.W. Clerk says on page 89 of his book, that this church in particular, which then split away, justified its racial segregation on biblical principles. Sadly, we can make the Scriptures say what we want. And it's really important that we're really careful about the way in which we interpret Scripture. You know, what's Jesus? You know, interpret through the eyes of Jesus. Because when you look at what Jesus is really like, Jesus is love. You know, that word that Wendy brought this morning, you know, is that Jesus really, really loves you. And it doesn't matter what you've done, what your past is like, and he wants to have this relationship with us. And it doesn't matter what we've done, he just wants that relationship with us. I just find it absolutely incredible, being blown away by God's love. And when we get caught up on all the set of rules and regulations and other bits and pieces, if it doesn't look like Jesus, it probably isn't God. Look at the Scriptures. How did Jesus react to the woman, you know, at the well he wasn't even supposed to speak to? How did he speak to women? How did he speak to women? So why do we treat women badly? Why do we treat women differently even now in this century? Jesus was so warm and outward focused to women, and women are not second rate. Yeah, it's not the way Jesus reacted. So why should we? Why should we justify it in a scripture verse? 2 Corinthians 3:6 speaks about the spirit and the letter, in that the spirit brings life, but the letter kills. Jesus set us free, died to set us free from a whole set of rules, along with a number of other things. It's all about relationship. Once it becomes about a set of rules, we're like the Pharisees. We're totally missing the point, and we mustn't miss the point. Let's not miss the point. Time's moving on. Last point. I'm going to quickly show a little clip. You've got to listen carefully. All right. In case you didn't get that, how do you stop your chief from chattering? I just leave him in my locker. I've got the bit in my pocket. Sorry, but I forgot about that. We know what that stands for, don't we? Just do it. You know, that's the, you know, it's Nike's phrase, isn't it? Just do it. And, you know, that is my final point, really. I'll call it just do it. Jesus' reaction, excuse me, to the critics, he just gets on with it. Just gets on with it. He's not put off by the religious of the day. What stops us from just getting on with it? Probably many things, but the biggest one for me has to be fear. Often I can fear getting it wrong. Have I got it wrong? Have I heard correctly? But more than anything else, and I recognize it, and I have to ask the questions in my mind, what others might say. Fear of man. The fear of man, it stops us from doing many a thing because we're frightened about what our peers might say, what others might say. You know, we can sometimes not be true to ourselves. But Jesus was true to his calling. And he did what he knew was the right thing to do, which is to bring healing, to bring wholeness, to bring life on the Sabbath, regardless. Because Jesus is Lord even of the Sabbath. And that's what he says. And Jesus wants to bring healing and wholeness. He wants to set the captives free. There's none of this business here of, you know, of just all doing it in a particular way. Jesus wants to set the captives free. He wants you to be free. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You will be free, set free from, you know, the things that bother us. Commit our way to him and he will lead us. He will direct our paths. It's about that relationship with Jesus. Sometimes we've just got to get on and do it. We've just got to stop procrastinating and we've just got to do it. Do you know what? If this is something for you today, it might be a case of you've got to make the most of the opportunity while we have it and not let fear rob us of what we know we should be doing. We had a book one time, Angela had a book, it's well known, called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And really, you know, that's pretty much it, really. Jesus got on and done it. And sometimes we're called into some difficult set of circumstances that we have to do. And sometimes it's going to upset somebody because, you know, or you might be called a heretic if you go that way, you know. Or you might be looked upon and it might not be the popular decision to go and do. But feel the fear and do it anyway. Do what God says. Go for Jesus. Go for him. Just last couple of little bits, really, just to show. Watch your attitude. I would say I was a visual person, so I thought I'd better put something up, really. So, 3 points. Watch your attitude, Henry. Don't miss the point. It's about relationship. It's not about rules. If you're here for a set of rules, it's about relationship. Jesus has set you free. You can go shopping this afternoon if you want to, by the way. You can cut the grass. It's okay. Just do it.